This is Hour 2 of Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff, and a happy weekend to you wherever you are and whatever you're doing. So glad that part of whatever you're doing is listening to this show. And thanks for coming back for Part 2. Well, on the agenda today, we're making resolutions. That's right, it's a new year, so we're starting down the self-improvement path through music. And for the countdown today, we've gone back to the second week of January in 1942. And we're playing the biggest records from that time as they were ranked by the Billboard Bestsellers chart. So let's get back to the countdown, resuming at number 5 with Bing Crosby. This is The Shepherd's Serenade.
I heard a lonely shepherd play. It was a haunting melody. I heard the music clearly say, that he was happy as could be. He played and he played. The world was forgotten, like castles in air. My every care began to fade. If he would only play forever, his little shepherd serenade. Castles in air, my every care began to fade. If he would only play forever, his little shepherd serenade. Little Shepherd Serenade.
Survey song number 5 this week in 1942, The Shepherd's Serenade. That was Bing Crosby at its peak on the countdown. And Bing was accompanied by the Harry Sosnick Orchestra. Now, Sosnick backed up a lot of the artists for Decca Records. In fact, he'd later become the director of the label. But he only had one session with Bing. That was October 24th of 41, when they recorded that song, Shepherd's Serenade, and Do You Care? Well, last hour, we heard Tommy Dorsey and Frank Sinatra as part of our resolutions theme. Well, they were on the countdown this week in 1942. They were at number 4.
This love of mine goes on and on, though life is empty since you have gone. You're always on my mind, though out of sight. It's lonesome through the day and I cry my heart out. It's bound to break since nothing matters. Let it break. the stars that shine. What's to become of it, this love of mine?
Frank Sinatra wrote the lyrics to This Love of Mine, and it was one of 9 top 10 hits for Tommy Dorsey in the year 1941. But this week in 42, it was number 4 on the bestsellers chart, one down from its high. Well, let's take a look at our world here in January of 42. Obviously, the war is the big story. Men were enlisting in record numbers, 25,000 for the Army, 7,500 for the Marines, and about 15,000 signed up to join the Navy. Many had to be turned away, including 81-year-old retired Major Charles Elliott. He served in the Spanish-American War. And interesting to find this note from Time magazine. In Waterloo, Iowa, 5 brothers named Sullivan signed up together in the Naval Reserve. Those are the brothers who would be killed in November at the Battle of Guadalcanal when the USS Juno was torpedoed. And they'd be memorialized in the movie The Fighting Sullivans. Right before Pearl Harbor, on December the 4th, 4 counties in southern Oregon and 3 in northern California declared that they had become the 49th state, and they called themselves Jefferson. The capital was the town of Eureka, and they elected a governor. It was Judge John Childs. They stopped people along Route 99 and handed out copies of their Proclamation of Independence. They said the state of Jefferson was in patriotic rebellion against the state of California and Oregon, and they would continue to secede every Thursday until further notice. Well, the secession movement came to an abrupt end 3 days later with the attacks on Pearl Harbor. Well, with America now in the war, that meant more men would be serving, and that meant separation from their wives or girlfriends. Now, there was a bit of an issue with ladies sending letters to their men, especially the ones who would be stationed in Britain. The Brits had banned all love letters that had X's written at the bottom, you know, signifying kisses. Well, the Brits were concerned that there might be codes being sent to spies, so that's why those love letters were banned. However, the self-acclaimed kissing champion of Hollywood, actress Jane Wyman, came up with a substitute for the X's, and that was a lipstick impression. She said, "I wish every girl who writes to a soldier would send them." Now, did she come up with that idea on her own? I don't know, but it's a great story, and we're going to stick with it. And we'll have our movie report after song number 3 on the countdown this week in 1942. Here's Freddie Martin's orchestra with Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto in B-flat. Thank you. is Freddie Martin's orchestra featuring Jack Fina and a pop arrangement of Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto in B-flat. That was song number 3 on this day in 1942. Moving down after spending 8 weeks at number 1, that was the second chart topper for the Martin Band. The first one came 7 years earlier. Well now, as promised, it's movie time. Let's see what Hollywood was giving us here in early January of 1942. Well, for cartoons, there's Wabbit Twubble with Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. And from the Three Stooges, some more of Samoa.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello. Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard speaking.
I'm fine.
So am I!
Well, Roy Rogers is starring in Red River Valley with Gabby Hayes and Gail Storm. There's the fourth installment of The Thin Man. This is The Shadow of the Thin Man with William Powell and Myrna Loy. The Corsican Brothers has Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Ruth Warwick. There's Bahama Passage with Madeline Carroll, Sterling Hayden, and Dorothy Dandridge. They Died with Their Boots On, Errol Flynn and Olivia de Havilland. There's All Through the Night with Bogey and a great cast of character actors, playing a criminal gang turning patriotic by tracking down a Nazi spy ring. There's the film noir I Wake Up Screaming with Betty Grable, Victor Mature, and Carol Landis. A little sci-fi horror, The Wolfman with Lon Chaney, Bela Lugosi, and Claude Rains. And from Hitchcock, Suspicion with Cary Grant and Joan Fontaine.
Now, what did you think I was trying to do? Kill you? Nothing less than murder could justify such violent self-defense. Look at you.
Let me go.
Oh, I'm just beginning to understand. You thought I was going to kiss you, didn't you?
Weren't you?
Of course not. I was merely reaching around you, trying to fix your hair.
What's wrong with my hair?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Would have been extremely discourteous for me to bring the subject up.
Well, for laughs, there was Keep 'Em Flying with Abbott and Costello, Quiet Wedding with Margaret Lockwood, and The Man Who Came to Dinner with Betty Davis, Ann Sheridan, and Monty Woolley.
Pecan butternut fudge.
Oh, my, you mustn't eat candy, Mr. Whiteside. It's very bad for you.
My great-aunt Jennifer ate a whole box of candy every day of her life. She lived to be 102, and when she'd been dead 3 days, she looked better than you do now.
And the musicals, Sing for Your Supper with Jinx Falkenberg and Buddy Rogers, Hell's a Poppin', Ole Olsen and Chick Johnson. An interesting musical done noir style, Blues in the Night with Priscilla Lane. There's Louisiana Purchase with Bob Hope, Vera Zarina, and Victor Moore. And the actor who was tops at the box office for 1941 was Mickey Rooney, and he got married this weekend. The 22-year-old took as his bride a 19-year-old North Carolina native who had been modeling in New York. And her looks won her a movie contract. She had only been in Hollywood for a few months. Her name, Ava Gardner. Well, Mickey Rooney was also in one of the big pictures this weekend, Babes on Broadway, where he co-starred with Judy Garland. And they introduced this song.
When a girl meets boy, life can be a joy. But the note they end on will depend on little pleasures they will share. So let us compare. I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? I love a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight and motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you? I like Jack Benny's jokes
to a degree.
I love the common folks.
That includes me.
I like to window shop on Fifth Avenue.
I like banana splits, late supper at the Ritz. How about you?
I love to dream of fame. Maybe I'll shine.
I'd love to see your name right beside mine.
I can see we're in harmony.
Looks like we both agree on what to do.
And I like it. How about you?
How about you? Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney from the MGM musical Babes on Broadway. And according to Billboard magazine, that was the most played song on radio this week in 1942. That's just one of the musical memories from January of 42 for This Seems Like Old Times. We're making our resolutions on today's Seems Like Old Times, and we're doing it through music, of course. Here, two different songs that share the same title. It's I Promise You, and with version number one, Kay Kaiser.
I promise you.
Rich or poor, have taken possession of the sun on the meadow.
Joe Stafford with the Paul Weston Orchestra from 1944, I Promise You. That was written by Johnny Mercer and Harold Arlen for the film Here Come the Waves. And before that, a completely different I Promise You altogether. That was composed by Anita Faye, Sammy Lerner, and Ben Oakland, and recorded in 1939 by Kay Kaiser's orchestra with vocals by Harry Babbitt. Well, here with our next resolution is Eddie Cantor.
We know that roses won't grow at our door unless we plant them there. We've learned the happiness that we are striving for is what we make it. Here's how we take it. Why does it matter if skies are not blue? Life doesn't show us a rose-colored view. Yet we go along like the other folks do, making the best of each day. What if our clothes have been worn quite a bit? A little old-fashioned in style, we'll admit. We fix it and sew it and change it to fit, making the best of each day. There are many things that we miss, still our hope is never gone. We've learned that a smile and kiss will help us carry on. What if our dream boat somehow doesn't sail? Whether we're lucky or whether we fail, we go along till the end of our trail, making the best of each day. These aren't easy times, folks. We're having hard years. We suffer our heartaches, our sorrows, our fears. But cares don't grow lighter with worry or tears. Just make the best of each day. Why, yesterday's troubles are over and done. Don't think of tomorrow, it hasn't begun. Just try what I say, take your days one by one, making the best of each day. You may not have riches or fame or success. Those things are just froth, just bubbles, just foam. Why, I've tasted them all, and they're all so much less than friendship, a wife, kids, and a home. With love, health, and friends, you can hold your head high. God's in his heaven, the sun's in the sky, and you have a treasure that money can't buy. Making the best of each day.
There's Eddie Cantor with a 1931 record, Making the Best of Each Day. That's one of our resolutions here on Seems Like Old Times. You're listening to Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff. Today, we've turned the calendar back 84 years to January of 1942. And now, let's take a look at sports. Football in the NFL. The Giants won the East by a game over the Dodgers. But there was a tie in the West. Both the Bears and Packers went 10-1. In the playoff game, Chicago whipped Green Bay 33-14 to move on to the championship. And the Bears and Giants met at Wrigley Field. New York got a first quarter touchdown. And while the Bears dominated time of possession, they got only three field goals in the first half. The Giants got a short kick early in the third quarter. But after that, it was all Chicago as they started finishing drives and they went on to a convincing 37-9 win. Sid Luckman passed for 160 yards as the Bears became the first team in the championship era to win back-to-back titles. And one more note on the Bears' last touchdown, Cooter McClain drop-kicked the extra point. That was the last successful drop-kick in the NFL for 64 years. It didn't happen again until Doug Flutie did it for the Patriots on January 1st, 2006. College football, Minnesota made it back-to-back national championships behind Heisman-winning halfback Bruce Smith. Now, the national champion was crowned at the end of the regular season before the Bulls, and Minnesota did not play in a bowl game that year. And because of fears of Japanese attacks on the West Coast, the Rose Bowl was going to be canceled. But Wallace Wade, who was the coach of second-ranked Duke, offered to host the game against Oregon State. So the Beavers took a train to Durham, North Carolina, and they beat the previously unbeaten Blue Devils 20-16. In the other New Year's Day games, the Cotton Bowl went to Alabama 29-21 over Texas A&M. At the Orange, Georgia outscored TCU 40-26. And in a driving rainstorm at the Sugar Bowl, Fordham topped Missouri 2-0. The only points came on a block punt that went out of the end zone for a safety. In some baseball news, Hank Greenberg became the first major league player to volunteer for the armed forces. He joined the Army Air Corps. And right behind him was Bob Feller, as he enlisted in the Navy. And finally in boxing, the heavyweight champion is Joe Louis. This week, he defended his title with a first-round knockout of Buddy Bear. And that's a check on sports from this week in 1942. And song number two on the countdown that weekend was another by the Glenn Miller Orchestra. This is Elmer's Tune.
Thinking of falling in love.
It's not the season, the reason is plain as a moon.
It's just Elmer's tune.
What makes a lady of 80 go out on the loose? Why does a gander meander in search of a goose?
What puts the kick in a chicken, the magic in June? It's just Elmer's tune.
Listen, listen, there's a lot you're liable to be missing.
Sing it, swing it, any old way and any old time.
The hurdy-gurdies, the birdies, the cop on the beat, the candy maker, the baker, the man on the street.
The city charmer, the farmer, the man in the moon. I'll sing Elmer's tune. Birdie, Gertie's the birdies, the cop on the beat.
The city charmer, the farmer, the man in the moon.
Oh. all sing Elmer's tune. They all sing Elmer's tune. They all sing Elmer's tune. Sing Elmer's tune.
You know, I always wondered why Elmer's glue never used Elmer's tune for a commercial. Just use Elmer's glue. I mean, it fits perfectly. Well, anyway, Elmer's tune was written by Elmer Albrecht back in the early 20s while he was a college student in Chicago. Well, over the years, he continued to play piano in the clubs around town. And then in early 1941, while Dick Juergens was in residency at the Aragon Ballroom, Albrecht pestered him into taking this unnamed instrumental. And it was still unnamed as Juergens was set to debut it on radio. Nobody could think of a title, so he just said, let's call it Elmer's tune. The name stuck, and it became a hit for the Juergens Band, reaching the top 10 in the spring of 41. Well, Glenn Miller liked the melody and wanted to do a vocal version. So the publisher hired Sammy Gallup to write some lyrics. Now, first to record the updated song were the Andrews Sisters. But then the Glenn Miller Band put it down, and that became the hit, featuring Ray Eberly and the Modern Airs. It was the number one song during Christmas week of 41. And it was in the runner-up spot this week in 1942, one of the 6 weeks it held that position.
These are days when good nutrition takes on a new importance. It's downright patriotic to know your vitamin alphabet and to see that your three meals every day are well-balanced. America must be strong, and Americans must be strong. Apropos of all this, I want to give you a few facts about the nutrition of Velveeta, Kraft's popular cheese food. For hidden in Velveeta's rich, mild cheddar cheese flavor are food values good for every single one of us. Milk protein to help build strong muscles, milk minerals to help build sound teeth and bones, food energy, vitamin A and vitamin G. And on top of all this, Velveeta is pasteurized and digestible as milk itself. So you see, Velveeta snacks and sandwiches are good for the family. Hot dishes rich with golden Velveeta are worthy of a main place at luncheon or dinner. Enjoy this famous cheese food regularly.
Thank you, Ken Carpenter, the announcer for the Kraft Music Hall here in 1942. Hey, let's give you a bonus record from this weekend. This was brand new from the Duke Ellington Orchestra with Ivy Anderson's vocals. I Got It Bad and That Ain't Good.
Like I love him, no.
a lonely weeping willow, lost in the wood. Lord, I got it bad, and that ain't good.
Duke Ellington and his famous orchestra with Ivy Anderson, I Got It Bad. Brand new, here in January of 42. Part of the soundtrack of our lives from 84 years ago and sounding just as good today on Seems Like Old Times. We're back on Seems Like Old Times, putting the finishing touches on today's show. But first, a reminder about the website. It is oldtimesradio.com. We have social media, too, on Facebook and X, as they now call themselves, and of course the email, Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at oldtimesradio.com. Well, here's our final resolution song of the day, and some people this year need to do a little addition by subtraction. For an example, here's Mary Martin.
I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms and send him on his way. Don't try to patch it up. Tear it up, tear it up. Wash him out, dry him out. Push him out, fly him out. Cancel him and let him go. Yay, sister! I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way. If a man don't understand you, if you fly on separate beams, waste no time, make a change. Ride that man right off your range. Rub him out of the roll call and drum him out of your dreams. Oh, oh, if you like the different comics, if you root for different teams, waste no time, weep no more, show him what the door is for. Rub him out of the roll call and drum him out of your dreams. You can't light a fire when the wood's all wet. No. You can't butterfly strong. Uh-huh. You can't fix an egg when it ain't quite good.
And you can't fix a man when he's wrong.
You can't put back a petal when it falls from a flower, or sweeten up a feller when he starts turning sour.
Oh no.
I went and washed that man right out of my hair. I went and washed that man right out of my hair and sent him on his way.
Here's Mary Martin. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair from South Pacific, one of our resolution songs on this Seems Like Old Times. And now, we're up to the number one record from this weekend in our spotlight year 1942. But first, the top news story, and of course, that was World War II. Well, along with the attack on Pearl Harbor, Japan launched invasions of Hong Kong, Malaya, Manila, and Singapore. and they took Wake Island on the 23rd, Hong Kong on Christmas Day, and then January 2nd took the Philippines. Meanwhile, in early December, German forces had advanced within 20 miles of Moscow, but then a determined Soviet counterattack repelled the Nazis, and now winter weather has set in, and that favors the Russians. German tanks were trapped in mud, and soldiers were freezing in the bitter cold. Field marshals wanted to withdraw their forces, but Hitler wouldn't let them, and some resigned in protest. And this weekend, German U-boats began attacking U.S. shipping along the East Coast. The first victim was the 9,000-ton British steamer Cyclops that was sunk 300 miles east of Cape Cod. And back on December 26th, a surprise visit to the United States by British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. His arrival really gave America a boost after weeks of Pearl Harbor hangover. And along with meeting President Roosevelt, he made an address to Congress.
Prodigious hammer strokes have been needed to bring us together today. If you will allow me to use other language, I will say that he must indeed have a blind soul who cannot see that some great purpose and design is being worked out here below, of which we have the honor to be the faithful servants. It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British and American peoples will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice, and in peace.
Winston Churchill addressing a joint session of Congress on December 26th, eloquent, polished, blunt, and scornful of the enemy, giving America a morale boost in the early days of our involvement in World War II. And at the top of the Billboard bestsellers chart this week in 1942, one of the biggest hits of all time. Once again, the Glenn Miller Orchestra. This is Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Aside, partner, it's my day. Bend an ear and listen to my version
of a really solid Tennessee excursion.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga Juju?
Yes, yes, track 29.
Boy, you can give me a shine.
Can you afford to board Chattanooga Choo-Choo?
I got my fare
and just a trifle to spare.
You leave the Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore.
Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer
than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing 8 to the bar, then you know that Tennessee is not very far.
Shovel all the coal in, gotta keep it rolling.
Ooh, ooh, Chattanooga, there you are.
There's gonna be a certain party at the station.
Satin and lace.
I used to call Funny Face. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'll never roam.
So Chattanooga choo-choo,
won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
get aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
all aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga, Chattanooga choo-choo,
won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga choo-choo.
Thank you.
Chattanooga Choo Choo, written by Mack Gordon and Harry Warren for the motion picture Sun Valley Serenade, and that's where it was introduced by Glenn Miller and the orchestra, along with Tex Beneke, Paula Kelly, and the Modern Airs. Now, in early February, Glenn Miller would be presented with the very first gold record.
It's a pleasure to be here tonight. And speaking for RCA Victor, we're mighty proud of that Chattanooga Choo Choo and the man who made the record, Glenn Miller. You see, it's been a long time. 15 years, in fact, since any record has sold a million copies. And Chattanooga Choo Choo certainly put on steam and breezed right through that million mark by over 200,000 pressings. That's really making a record in more ways than one, and we decided that Glenn should get a trophy. The best one we could think of was a gold record of Chattanooga. And now, Glenn, it's yours, with the best wishes of RCA Victor Bluebird Records.
That's RCA Victor executive Wallace Early presenting Glenn Miller with the first gold record for Chattanooga Choo Choo. That was on Glenn's Chesterfield Moonlight Serenade radio show, February 10th, 1942. The tune hit number one in late November, dropped out for 1 week, but then returned to number one for a total of 9 weeks, and it was there on this very day in 1942. Well, that's it for this week's show, everybody. We are all out of time. It's been great having you here, and I'll have your seat ready for you again next week. And until then, this is Craig Orndorff saying so long for Seems Like Old Times.